Don't.
All right. Good afternoon, and thank you all for being here to hear about my evaluation of the automatic patient merging in the Michigan Disease Surveillance System. I will admit that prior to being a health systems integration fellow, I had worked with the Michigan Disease Surveillance System for 2 years as an EIS officer, and I honestly hadn't given much thought to how patient deduplication works in our system. But seeing how the number of labs that we're receiving is increasing thanks to ELR, and seeing that electronic case reporting is on the horizon, it's worth taking a deeper look at. So first, what are we asking of our system? Well, for an individual, we might be getting data from multiple sources. So for example, from healthcare providers, from labs, public health labs, clinical labs. Maybe the clinical lab is sending out the data to a reference lab. And in Michigan, we also want that original lab to be sent from the clinical lab as well. And then what are the types of tests that we're getting? Maybe it's just one test, for example, a culture. But often it's more than that. There's antibiotic susceptibilities, serotypes, acute sera, convalescent sera. And then what's the type of condition? Is it an acute condition with one encounter, or is it an acute condition with multiple encounters? And then chronic conditions. So maybe we're getting lab tests every 6 months, every year. And then lastly, who's to say that one person can't have more than one reportable condition at a time? We know that happens. And then that's also assuming, you know, people aren't static. We move. We change phone numbers and addresses. We get married. We get divorced. We change gender. Some of us even lie about our age. So in all, this really emphasizes that we need an efficient and accurate patient deduplication system. The Michigan Disease Surveillance System was implemented in 2004. It's a web-based system that local and state public health officials use for managing reportable communicable disease conditions in Michigan. Data are entered either manually or electronically via ELRs. And it's a patient-centric model. So ideally, a person should only have one patient ID, and then multiple case IDs can be assigned to them. Patient deduplication in the MDSS can really be divided into two separate parts. The first one is patient matching, and that is when data in the incoming referral are compared to all of the patients or possible patients in our MDSS system. It's a probabilistic based algorithm, meaning that it compares the different variables. In our case, we use name, sex, and address. It assigns a score for the match of each variable and then a total score that estimates the likelihood that these two patients do represent a match. It also incorporates additional tools to correct for data entry errors. So things like Metaphone, which is a phonetic algorithm that allows for two names that might sound similar but aren't exactly the same to be considered matching. Edit distance, it looks at the difference between the two values, how many characters off they are. Reverse fields, so if, for example, if a person reverses the first and the last name field. And then historic data, mainly for addresses, any previous addresses that we have in our system for the person. And then once you've identified that two people are indeed a match, we then have the merging process. And that's when the user decides which values for those variables to accept in the merged record. I want to walk through the patient deduplication workflow in MDSS. So labs are first entered, and they go through our geocoder, and that helps to standardize the patient addresses, and that's also what we use to assign the jurisdiction. They're then compared to our MDSS master person index for possible matching persons. If not, if no matches are identified, it automatically creates a new person record and a new case. If yes, it then asks, does this meet our automatic patient merge criteria? If it does, and I'll mention the criteria in a minute, if it does, then the system automatically merges the patient records and then asks the user whether this is a new case or not. If it doesn't, it's then sent to user review, and the user manually looks at the values and decides whether or not it's a matching person. If it's not, they create a new patient. If it is, then they merge the patients, choose which values to accept, and then go on to determine whether it's a new case or not. So for the purpose of this evaluation, I focused primarily on the automatic patient merge criteria. And that's because this is something new that we implemented within MDSS. We set the criteria pretty high, and we wanted to know where we were and how we were doing, and if there's things that we can do to modify it. For two referrals to be merged, or to an existing patient, it has to match exactly on first name, last name, date of birth, and sex. And then it must also match exactly on either address or phone number. And it only looks, for the auto merge, it only looks at the current address. Just to mention about how missing and unknown values are handled in our system. So two missing values, for example, if the street address was missing in both the incoming and the existing, would be considered not a match for that variable. A missing and an address would also be considered not a match. For some variables like sex, you can actually annotate that it's unknown, and an unknown and an unknown would be considered a match, but an unknown with a known would be not a match. The objectives of this analysis were to compare the proportion of automatically merged patients to manually merged patients, to identify reasons the manually merged records were not auto-merged, and then lastly, to recommend adjustments to decrease the burden of manual adjudication. In terms of methods, we pulled out all laboratory referrals received by the MDSS for the month of August in 2016. We looked at the demographic data, specifically first name, last name, sex, date of birth, phone number, and street address. And then for a subset of records, we were able to look at the data in the incoming referral, the existing record, and then what was merged. In total, for the month of August of 2016, we received 21,300 referrals. Approximately 10% of them were reports for new patients, and the remaining 19,193 were for existing patients. This chart shows the number of lab reports by condition or condition category, and what you can see is that the burden is not equally distributed across the conditions. As we predicted, hepatitis C, which is a chronic condition, has the majority of the lab reports. Of those reports that were merged to existing patients, 39% were automatically merged, and 61% the user manually merged. I then looked to see what effect ELRs might have on this. So on the right is a pie chart showing that 78% of our lab reports were received via ELR. And then on the left is showing it's stratified by whether it was auto-merged or manual merged. So of those roughly 15,000 ELRs, 47% of them were auto-merged. In comparison, only 13% of the manual entry labs were auto-merged. Then looking at those auto-merged referrals, I asked, which criteria did they meet? Because they only need to meet address or phone. And the majority of them, 91% of them, had a matching phone number. So the smallest percentage, 9%, had matching demographics and address but not phone. 53% had matching demographics and phone but not address. And then 38% had all three, demographics, phone, and address. Which makes sense because phone is less variable than street address. I then looked a little closer at the manually merged referrals and asked how many variables for each report weren't matching. And just as a reminder, we had 6 total variables that we were looking at. So this is a chart showing the number of mismatched variables along the x-axis. So 1 means that one variable didn't match, but the remaining 5 variables did match. And then 6 means that none of the 6 variables had an exact match. And what you can see is that the majority of these manually merged reports had either 1 or 2 mismatched variables. This is that same chart, just in a workflow diagram. So of those reports that had just 1 mismatched variable, I then asked which variable is it most likely to be. Oops. And this is a chart showing the mismatched variables on the x-axis and then the percentage of the referrals. And what you can see is that the majority of these variables had a mismatch in either the first name or the last name. I then looked at those referrals and characterized what type of discrepancy they were. The majority of these, 166 or 38%, had a different spelling. And what's important to note is that the majority of those 166, 161 of them, they were only off by 1 or 2 character differences. Another common discrepancy was that there was an inmate ID placed in the first name field, which is actually something that we recommended people to do because we didn't have a way to capture an inmate ID, and it was an important variable. But this is an unintended consequence of it. Another common one was having the middle initial or name in the first name variable, a first name field. There were differences in punctuation or spacing, different or second last names, suffixes present in one but not the other, and then nicknames used. I then asked the same question of the 2 mismatched variables. Which variables were they most likely to be? And this differed. Now it was most likely to be phone and or address. And if we look a little bit more closely, 73% of these, it was both the phone and the address that didn't match. 26% of these, it was either the phone or the address, and then meaning another one of the demographic variables didn't match. And then in only 1% of them, it was the two other mismatch variables. The phone and the address both matched. I then asked how many of these mismatches were due to missing data, because as I mentioned, missing data are considered, for the most part, not a matches. And the majority of them, 74%, were due to missing values. 38% had a missing address, and by missing, I mean it was missing in either the incoming and or the existing records. 27% had a missing address and phone, and 9% had a missing phone. That left about a quarter of them where the phone and the address were present in both the incoming and the existing record, but neither matched. So then I wondered, well, how far off are they? And the answer is a lot. So on the right, or on the left, I'm sorry, is the address discrepancies. And so what you can see is that the majority of them were completely different. There were some other types of discrepancies, so apartment, whether someone used APT to abbreviate apartment, or unit, whether they included the number sign or not, spacings, punctuation, street type, street versus boulevard, for example, house numbers, misspellings. We had 8 referrals from the same clinic where they were putting the clinic name and the patient address, which is wrong on multiple levels. And then for phone discrepancies, the majority of them were completely different. Some were nonsense numbers and a couple inverted digits. But for the most part, they were different. So that's suggesting to us that these were people who have since moved or had a different phone number since we last saw them in our system. But the point I want to make is that between these 3 boxes in blue, really, all of these referrals are only one variable away from their auto-merge criteria. Because as I mentioned, you only need phone or address to match. So subtle changes to our algorithm or data quality could really capture or move a number of these manually merged referrals to the auto-merge, and small changes can obviously save time. But if we make these small changes, so if we allow, for example, small discrepancies between names, then we have to ask, well, what do we want the system to keep? Do we want to trust the incoming data or the existing data? So in the example below, do we want the system to record John with an H or without an H? So I look to see what the users are accepting in these cases. So along the x-axis are the different variables. The orange is the cases where the user kept the incoming data. The blue is where the user kept the existing data. So for example, in the roughly 4,500 reports where the addresses didn't match, in 70% of those cases, the users kept the incoming data. And what we see is that for address and phone, the user's more likely to keep the incoming data, but for date of birth, name, and sex, they're more likely to keep the existing data. So to summarize, 39% of our labs are currently being auto-merged, which means that the majority of them are still having to be manually merged. The ELRs are more likely to be auto-merged, so the greater percentage of ELRs that we have, the more auto-merging we will hopefully get. The majority of these manually merged records have only 1 to 2 mismatched variables, and most of those are only one variable away from meeting the auto-merge criteria. If it's one variable, it's most likely to be name. If it's two, it's most likely to be the phone and address. When there are discrepant data, the phone and the address are more likely to be matched, the user is more likely to keep the incoming. When it's name, date of birth, or sex, the user is more likely to retain the existing. So these are some adjustments. If we can figure out a way to move that middle name or initial from the first name variable into the middle name, we do have a couple of repeat offender labs who are putting the middle name in the first name variable, so at least we can target them first. We also have a script where we can, when we see a space in the first name, we can move everything after that space into the middle name field automatically. This is good for this problem, but obviously when someone has a first name like Mary space Beth, and that's their first name, that Beth will be moved over to the middle name. We've since created an inmate ID variable so we can get that ID out of the first name. And then we should consider allowing small 1 to 2 character differences between names when all the other variables are matching. We've also considered creating an alias variable to capture those name changes, so maiden names, for example. And then lastly, we should reevaluate how we're handling these missing values. So when there's data present in the existing and it's unknown in the incoming, should we really consider that a non-match? There are some limitations. So I did not include reports that were merged, that weren't merged, but should have, so false negatives. So we might be underestimating the amount of patient deduplication. And it also begs the question about how many duplicate patients do we have in our system right now. We know that they're there. In fact, we ask users that if they're not 100% sure or if they're kind of questionable whether or not these represent 2 people, that they should make them 2 people so that we make sure that they get follow-up. But it's worth looking at to see how many John Smiths born on April 1st, 1970 do we really have in our system, and is there something way that we can clean this up before we start going towards electronic case reporting? I also did not determine what effects these adjustments will have on the false positives. So are we more likely to put together two patients that really don't represent the same person? I think that that's negligible. In fact, the majority of my recommendations are data quality improvements. But it is something to look at, and perhaps using something like a mock patient database would help us to look at the sensitivity and specificity of some of these changes to our algorithm. And then lastly, this relies on accurate patient matching. So if the right patient isn't showing up on our patient matching list, then obviously we're having an issue. And that's a part that I didn't evaluate in this investigation. So ultimately and fundamentally, patient matching issues are factors or issues with data quality. And so what we really need to do is focus on our data quality, garbage in, garbage out phenomenon. But I do want to make the distinction between data quality versus completeness. So even if we do get data that's not exactly perfect, there are some algorithms and things that we can do to fix that, like Metaphone. But if we don't have the data, if the variable field is blank, then there's nothing that we can do for that. And lastly, where we want where we see this heading in Michigan is the state is developing a state master person index. So this would be to have the different systems contribute all to the same master person index and to provide a more comprehensive view of the patient population. This is where we'd like to see it going. We have not been connected to the master person index yet. Thank you. Any questions? Currently, the question was whether what our master patient index was. If it's outside the system, how do we connect? So no, currently our master person index is within our system. We're just querying within. But ultimately, we would like to connect to this master patient index within the state.
I'm going to take moderator prerogative. I need to get closer to the mic. I'm going to take moderator prerogative and ask a question to follow up on that one, which is in your diagram of agencies participating and data sets participating to a master patient index was not marriage records.
Mm-hmm.
And marriage records is a way to capture the difference between a maiden name and a married name because, well, that's what the license is all about. So
yeah, absolutely. No, that would be fantastic. And to be honest, I'm not sure. Maybe marriage records are included. I don't know what the status is for all these systems yet. But that's a good thought that I didn't think about. So thank you. And if anybody's system currently, or if your state has a master person index, I'd be interested to hear how it works with your system.
So, Brian Karras, Washington State Department of Health, fabulous job. I think I think it's a great example of how our informatics fellowship program gets great work done out in the state. So, congratulations. And congratulations on graduating.
Thank you.
I hope Jim's given you a job.
And surviving Jim, yeah. Is that what you said?
So my question, a follow-up to the master patient index, I think it's an expensive proposition. I assume it's your state Medicaid agency who's investing in that set of software. Same thing's happening in Washington. But getting at the table is the tricky part. Since we're not putting in any of the money for it, they may not necessarily see the value in our contribution. But as Steve just pointed out, the departments of health often have the death information. They have the birth information. We have the marriage information. There's a tremendous that we can add to that. But we need to make that case for that value. Have the description of the automated process, did that exist as a matching algorithm inside the application, or is that something that could be done as the data passes through Rhapsody to do some record checking or a call out to a master patient index to resolve conflicts before it goes into the reporting system?
Right.
Where does it exist?
Where is it? it's in our system. And you're absolutely right about the state MPI. I think we are still in the prioritization discussion now. Where are we in all of those systems? And how do we get ourselves higher up? So absolutely, we have, I think, the same issues. But right, our current automatic patient merging is within our system. But we've had discussions about how can we make this work, you know, hopefully when there is a state MPI, how are we going to make this work? Are we going to query out when we have a new referral? Are we going to query out, see if it matches, see if we have more complete data there, get an MPI number, so now we have another variable that we can link it to and bring that into our system? That's what I see happening. That's what I'd like to happen, I should say.
Thank you. Hi, Alistair Matheson, Public Health Seattle, King County, also Washington. Do you track the changes that you make, or do you just override? So I'm thinking something like address. If you wanted to look historically at clusters or, you know, geographic analyses, would you be able to do that, or do you only ever keep the most recent data?
It depends on the variable. An address we do track. So we do have the history for addresses. And this is a merging process, but you can go back and unmerge. But you can only unmerge those specific variables, and you could potentially lose other things. So address, yes, we do have a historical data for.
I'm Lei Zhang from Southern Nevada Health District. You propose a new algorithm that allows the two-letter difference in the name. Right?
We already allow it.
I'm just wondering is which name you are keeping.
So we don't.
After merge.
Right. So currently we don't allow it. We send that off. We don't allow that for our automatic patient merge. It gets sent to our user review and the user has to decide. But when I looked at what people are choosing in that user merge, they're more likely to keep the existing record, for example, when the names change. So if we were to allow those differences, statistically speaking, we should probably leaning towards accepting the existing. But it kind of points to your question about historical data. Could we then see that? What was the name before? It's a little convoluted right now to get to that, but maybe there'd be better ways to address that.
We have time for one short question. If there's another question, I don't see a long line, so. One more. You can't leave.
The question was, how do we get the data?
Yeah.
So we pulled the data from our MDSS system. We pulled all laboratory referrals that we received within that time frame out of our system. Does that answer the question? Right, so we pulled the data out of our surveillance system. So I had what the name was on the incoming referral. I had what the name was on the existing record that it was being matched to. And then I had, for some of them, I had what it was merged to, what was chosen afterwards. And then I used SAS to compare and look at the variables.
Mm-hmm. Please join me in thanking me.